Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 23rd of Tammuz, with thanks to the OU, to Rabbi Jack Abramowitz, to David Hochhauser for making this shiurim available online. We will start with a discussion of a response written on the 23rd of Tammuz of Tov Shin Tet of 1949. It's from Heichal Yitzchak, the tshuvot, the response of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, the first Ashkenazic chief rabbi of Israel. And he's responding to Rav Yechiel Michal Tikhachinsky. And you know, I always thought it was Tukhachinsky, and then I learned through my Chuvot discussions that there was a place, in fact, called Tikhachin in Poland, I think. And so I think Tikhachinsky, even though he was a Rav in Eretz Israel, I think it means he was from Tikhachin, or his family was from Tikhachin. So, and he's well known, Rav Tikhachinsky was well known for a couple of sermons. He wrote Gesher Chaim, which is a book about Avelos issues, that I think is very popular, very well respected. And he also is, I think, into issues of like shiurim, of knowing how much of whatever you had to do, and of dates and times. I think he was a dateline person as well. So he was a person who dealt with all sorts of interesting and important issues that were arising halacha lamaisa in practical halacha. So Shut Heichal Yitzchak, Orech Chaim Siman Nunhei, the 55th responsum in the Orech Chaim section of Shut Heichal Yitzchak, was about now that the War of Independence had been completed, and there are Jews living in the southern Negev. Now, after the War of Independence of the State of Israel, they did not have the Sinai Desert. That's not the question. They had the Negev, though. The Negev down to Beersheba, down to Eilat, even. I think they had Eilat. Did they have Eilat in the first? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they had Eilat. Anyway, if I'm wrong, but they had parts of the Negev. They were way down south. And the question was, did those places get to keep one day of Yom Tov when the Chag happens, like the rest of Israel, or do they have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov as if they were in New York or Cairo? So that's the question. So on the 23rd of Tammuz of Tov Shin Tet of 1949, Rav Herzog is responding to this question. He says, I got your letter on the 16th of Tammuz, which is a week beforehand, but I was so busy, and I had just gotten back from a trip to the States for, I think, fundraising purposes, right, a trip to the United States, but even so, it doesn't explain why I didn't respond till now. I always note that because I like noticing the difference between Meshiv and respondents. There are respondents who will not answer for a month, let's say, and they won't say a word about it. And then there are respondents who, if they don't answer within a week, they feel bad and they'll apologize for it. It's an interesting contrast between different people in terms of their rhythms of life. He says, but that doesn't explain it. And also, I want you to know, he says, I'm only going to write very briefly. And I noted as I was going through the tshuva, I skip a bunch of things so that I can present it in within the half hour. But for him, the idea, and for many Mishivim, the idea of I'm writing very briefly is a different concept of brevity than some of us would have. And it reminds us, and I think it's important to note here and many other times, it reminds us that topics that are dealt with in halacha, every single topic, or most topics, many, many topics have intricacies that would take a long time to get into, and they tap into many issues that are broad issues that have not yet a complete and solid resolution to them, so that each one of them, as you go through it, you'd have a lot to talk about. It's true for Herzog here in brief, but it's true very much for Avad Yosef. Everything he encounters, he can remember and know of these many, many conversations about that issue, and it complicates the whole discussion, and you have to figure out what you're doing. So that's a function, an aspect of halachic discourse that we sometimes don't remember, that the true halachists, that poskim, are keeping in mind and are juggling as they're thinking about it all these related issues. So they have to come to an answer, and they have to follow a path to what they decide is the practical truth of the issue. But as they're going through it, everything that comes up is raising issues. So here we're going to see that, some of that as well. So he quotes a Rambam. It's a fascinating Rambam. In the fifth chapter of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh HaLachotet, which, remember, among the last halachot, the Rambam talks about in the laws of holidays, of Moadim, of times in Judaism, is how do you know how to establish Rosh Chodesh? In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, in the time when we hope for it to have happened again, not only in the Beit HaMikdash, even a little bit after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, what you would have is, when you had smuchim, you had people of that original ordination that gave them the rank as the links in the authoritative chain of Misora, and they could serve as judges for Kiddush HaChodesh when there was a new moon. They would hear witnesses who would say, last night I saw the moon, and based on testimony of witnesses, they would establish the month. We nowadays use a completely different system. We do it by fixed calendar, which is a discussion of that we're not going to get into today, but it's a fixed calendar, that's what we do. Rambam Paskin, so in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, when you talk about how they did that by the witnesses and how they worked it out, in the fifth chapter, the ninth halacha there, he says, Ein Asiyat Yom Tov Tiluya B'Krivat HaMakom. So it's based on that issue that we developed, that the idea of 2 days of Yom Tov developed. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, when they were creating Yom Tovs based on eyewitness testimony, the eyewitnesses would come to the court in Jerusalem. So if you have a court in Jerusalem and they're going to decide today is Rosh Chodesh, how do you get the word out to people? So the original system of the Mishnah in, I think, Rosh Hashanah tells us, was that they would have people stand on hills. They would have a system of, like, I think semaphores is a word. They would go at night and they would wave torches. Very bright, very high, very powerful, not torches like electric torches. They would light fires on sticks and they would wave them. There would be people who would stand on the mountains the possible nights for Rosh Chodesh to look for it. And if they saw that it had been lit, they would light their torch and they would light their torch. And that system seems to have gone all the way to Bavel, all the way to the farthest exile that they knew. And then that would be a way in which you get the word out very, very quickly. If that had been the system that stayed in place, we would never have needed a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiyot, because all Jews all across the world would have known when it was that Rosh Chodesh was, and based on when Rosh Chodesh, let's say, Nisan was, you can know when Pesach would be. Based on when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was, you can know when Sukkot should be. So that was all fine and good, except that the Mishnah tells us there came a time when there were people who were heretics, whoever they were, probably Sadducees, but there were people who wanted to get in the way of the rabbinic system. They had a different system in mind. They thought the rabbinic halachic system was wrong for whatever reason, and this has contemporary overtones today of how do Jews handle it when they think another set of Jews is wrong in halacha. So it's a whole big question. So these other people didn't like the system that Chazal had, and therefore they faked it. And they would start lighting torches on the wrong night and going up on hills. And the people on the far hills, because this was a far distance, because when there's not, today you have a problem with light pollution they had talk about, but when you didn't have light pollution and it was night and somebody lit a torch, it could be miles away. So you didn't even know for sure what hill they were on or not. So they would mess up the system. Once they did that, they no longer did it that way. They did it by shluchim. They would send out messengers. The messengers would have to ride all throughout the exile to tell people when the calendar had been set. Now that's fine, except that, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, first of the month of Nisan, Pesach is 14 days later. So you can't always get places. Just in this tshuva, they assume that it's wherever you can't get within 10 days. Already was a place that would keep us Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiyot. I think it's because you'd make Rosh Chodesh, the messenger would go out. I don't remember exactly why. But you would have a problem. They couldn't get where they needed to get to, and there would be communities that didn't know which day was Rosh Chodesh, and therefore they really didn't know which day should be Yom Tov, and they kept both. Later on, when they fixed the calendar, as we do it now, then there was a discussion about that in the Gemara, and the Gemara says, even so, we have to keep that custom anyway, and that's how you have a Yom Tov Sheni today. That's all background to what the Rav Herzog is quoting from the Rambam. The Rambam wrote, Enas Yom Tov to the Abikrivata Makom. It's not a question of closeness, meaning the way that I heard it growing up, a lot of people say it, and we'll see why they see it that way in a second, but a lot of people say it as if you were in a place that was close enough to Yerushalayim, the messengers reached you before the Yom Tov decision had to be made about when Yom Tov was, then you kept one day. And if you were too far, then you kept 2 days, right? That's what the system we hear about. But the Rambam says it's not a question of closeness. It's a question of ketzad. He says, let's say you're within 5 days of Jerusalem, 5 days travel. So clearly the messengers can reach there before the Yom Tov. We still don't say, this is the Rambam. The Rambam says, we don't say they keep 1 day necessarily. Who would tell us, we don't know that it was a place that messengers actually went to. Maybe they didn't go there because there were no Jews living there at the time, and therefore they didn't go there. And then the Rambam goes on, and the Jews started living there only after there was a fixed calendar. Rambam says they have to keep 2 days. Or it could be, the Rambam says, there was a cheirum baderach. Sometimes you had situations where you had problems with the roads, if you had problems with the road, meaning there was some, there were highwaymen or there was an army, there was, you couldn't travel to the place. So why does he say that? Because we have, in the Mishnah, we have a discussion of the fact that between Yehuda and Galil, between the southern part of Israel and the northern part of Israel, there were times that was true. That was a gittin halacha. That affects a gittin halacha. So, or sometimes you could have the kutim money. You could have these non-Jews. I think it was the kutim, actually, in the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, who started creating problems, who didn't like the way the Jews kept their Torah, and therefore they would stop us. So then halacha yedalef, the Rambam writes, so it turns out the way that we figure this out is, every place that has a 10 days travel between Yerushalayim and that place, ro'im oto ha-makom be'eret Yisrael, shayu ba'Yisrael b'shat ha-ri'ya b'kibushini. If it's a place where Jews were living in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, osin yom echad b'vad. So I think it's, I don't remember why it's within 10 days, but sorry, I just did a quick search that I can't find why it's 10 days rather than, let's say, 12 days. Let's say 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is often 2 days, so you don't want to do, you don't send out the shluchim then, but you send them out the day after. That would be, so it could be, let's say, if it was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos that year, Rosh Hashanah, you would send that, maybe that's it, because you wouldn't send them out until Sunday the 4th of the month, and then 10 days is the 14th, and that's Erev Yom Tov. That's probably the answer. Okay, so, point is, Rambam says if it's within 10 days or less, and the shluchim would then you see, he says, then you, it's not just, okay, if it's 10 days. You see if that place is a place where Jews were living there in Beit Sheni, they do 1 day. But if it's not a place like that, if, let's say, because there weren't Jews living there, he points out, the Rambam points out that, let's say there were places in Egypt that are within 8 days travel, and yet they keep 2 days, so apparently the shluchim didn't go there, the messengers didn't go there, and it's not only a question of closeness, right? So, or if it's a place where all of a sudden Jews start living, that's not a place where the messengers would have gone to, and therefore those places have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. So that's a fascinating Rambam. It's a Rambam, Herzog doesn't mention it, but I remember hearing many years ago, I can't be sure that it's true, but I remember hearing that the Griz, Rav Yitzchok Ze'ev Salavich, known as the Brisker Rav, who lived in Yerushalayim, I remember hearing that either kept or thought they should keep 2 days of Yom Tov in the new city of Jerusalem because he said, where I'm living, the shluchim wouldn't have gone there. And this Rambam says you keep 2 days based on whether the messenger would have gone there. What he meant was that the messenger wouldn't have gone there because they were headed out to Bavel, and the path they would have clearly taken wouldn't have included them. So that's as far as he took. So if that was, if you follow that opinion, then certainly the Negev, right? People living in Be'er Sheva, the Be'er Sheva is probably not, because Be'er Sheva is a well-known old city, but let's say further south, like Eilat, would keep 2 days rather than 1 day. So that's what the Herzog is now talking. The language of the Rambam made it clear that if the shluchim, if the messengers of Tishrei would get there within 10 days, then it's in Eretz Yisrael, and you knew that there were Jews who were living there at the time when they still set the calendar based on eyewitness testimony, they'll keep 1 day. But everybody else will keep 2 days, right? It also sounds like, Herzog says, that it's only when we know it for sure that there were Jews living there, like a place like Tveria. So that's when we say that they keep 1 day, because we're not going to change their custom. But if you have cities in Israel, he says, that were around in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, in the time when you had Kiddush Al Pi HaRe'iyah, when you had eyewitness testimony setting up the calendar, it would seem like maybe not, unless they had a specific actual tradition that they only kept 1 day, because otherwise we don't know. Because it could be that there weren't Jews living there back then, even though it was, or it could be, as he said, there was a road problem. There were people on the roads who made them sure the messengers couldn't get there, and those places had to keep 2 days, and we don't know about that. So, Herzog is saying the Rambam seems to sound like it's got to be a place we knew there were Jews at the time. Now, even if that place got destroyed and then rebuilt, that'll be okay, because we know that in the time when there was eyewitness testimony, they got the messengers to tell them when Rosh Chodesh was, and therefore they kept only 1 day. But other places, right, all the places, all the new establishments in our country of Israel, in our new Eretz Israel, which doesn't have that kind of tradition, it sounds like the Rambam might think they have to keep 2 days. So, but that's against our custom, right? We've got a lot of, thank God, he says, Todah Lakel. Thank God, we have a lot of new places in Israel, and there we have no reason to think, we have no tradition that they had been settled in the time when there was still eyewitness testimony, and they only keep 1 day. So, either, what's that going to mean? Either we're reading the Rambam wrong, or we don't pass like the Rambam. So he's not done yet. If you look carefully at the Rambam, as I mentioned before, I mentioned it a little earlier. He says it here. Rambam mentioned the idea that there were blocking situations on the road, or there were armies, or there were enemies who stopped people from traveling the roads. If you're going to start worrying about all that stuff, then even if you have places that you know that there were Jews living there in the time of eyewitness testimony in the Second Temple period and just slightly post-Second Temple period when they were still setting the calendar based on eyewitness testimony, there could have been those kinds of things on the road. So how do you know? You'd have to have a city. Only you have to restrict yourself to cities who have a lasting, continued tradition that they kept one day back then. He mentions a place called Pekin. So Pekin, we knew, was lived in during the time of the Second Temple. It's mentioned in the Mishnah, and therefore that would be a place. It's interesting because today it's a Druze village, as far as I could tell online, with about 5,600 people. But he's saying that would be a place, according to this Rambam. But any place where people stopped living there, and you don't know what was going on in the time, unless you have an actual tradition about what they did and how they handled it in the time when it was being done, based on eyewitness testimony, and we don't really have such historical records, you'd seem to be a problem, unless you had an actual tradition about it. However you want to figure out that problem, certainly a place like the Negev, right, which is the desert of Eretz Yisrael, and we have no reason to think it was settled back then, they should have to do 2 days, according to what the Rambam is saying. However, the Rambam isn't so simple. Because, says Rav Herzog, this is a rabbinic issue. The whole idea of Yom Tov Sheni is a rabbinic institution to try to keep a minhag of atinu biyadeinu, to try to continue a custom of our forefathers for various reasons and probably good reasons. But it is a derabbanan issue. Usually the halakha isn't derabbanan issues that we pass in the kula. And here the Rambam is creating this great big chumri saying, any place that doesn't know has to assume that it's keep 2 days. He says the Rambam actually anticipated that. And that's why the Rambam wrote that they have to follow the custom of rov ha'olam. And to follow the custom of the majority of the world. The majority of world Jewry keeps 2 days, especially, certainly even in the time of Herzog, when they'd already seen a great influx of Jews, and there were, and this was a huge number at the time. I'm going to say the number, and for them it was astounding there were that many Jews in Israel, 600,000 Jews in Israel at the time. Right, today, we are approaching a time, we have, I think, 6 million Jews in Israel, or slightly more. We're approaching a time when the Jews in Israel will be the majority of world Jewry. So that'll be a whole different halachic reality. But the Rambam was saying, you follow the majority of the world. Now, here I skipped. There was a whole discussion in Rav Herzog about how you apply the idea of rov. Because the question is, when I say that most of world Jewry keeps 2 days, well, why would I say that Yerushalayim has to follow that? So the answer is Yerushalayim has its own tradition and a well-established tradition. There are two traditions. But it sounds like the Rambam is saying, even places in Israel that have questions have to follow the majority of the world. But since I know that there's unity in Israel and the rest of the world, it's not clear why you pick which majority. So that's a question that I left for another time for people to think about and to discuss as to when you apply which majority. When is something part of what majority? So for example, not in the tshuva here, but another example would be, let's say you're walking along and you find a piece of meat. The Gemara talks about this. You find a piece of meat there, I guess covered up in a package, but the packaging doesn't make clear what kind of a butcher shop it came from. Just a piece of meat, and it seems fresh, it seems good, and you'd like some meat. The question is it kosher meat? So if there are 9 kosher butcher shops right there and 1 non-kosher butcher shop, so then you're allowed to assume that it's from one of the kosher butcher shops because it's a question of rov. So the problem with that is, but the majority of butcher shops in the world are for sure not kosher. So the majority of butcher shops in the world aren't kosher. Why do you follow that majority? So that's the kind of question that Rav Herzog was discussing here that we're going to skip for now. He also says, but on the other hand, you might hold, and he has examples of this that I'm skipping as well, but another side topic you got into, maybe in terms of majority issues, you'd have to follow the majority of the world, but also you might say, or not, whether or not you posit that, but you might also say, we often say, Suffik Durabanan Lakula, that when we have a question on a rabbinic issue, we rule leniently. And that's a well-known principle. That were true here, you would imagine saying, well, we have a debate about whether these places keep 1 day or 2. It's a rabbinic issue. So they keep 1, right? We go lakula. So he says, no, it could be that you only say that principle of safek drabban and lakula in what's called what he calls a safek mikri uzmani, a temporary and a happenstance safek. I encounter a situation, and now I have a doubt about what to do. But if I have a situation where I'm evaluating the world, and whatever I'm going to decide is going to come up again and again, it's just going to be the nature of our interpretation of the world, so then there, he's not sure you say safek drabban and lakula. So if I'm going to be asked, is a lot a place that's keep 1 day or 2 days, it's true it's a suffering and a drabbanan issue, he's saying you cannot easily and blithely apply the principle of suffering drabbanan lekula because it's going to be forever. It's going to be all the time. And those set situations, he's not clear. And he gives examples that I didn't want to get into because I thought it would take us too far afield of situations where he doesn't think the principle of suffering to Rabbanan Lekula that we go leniently in rabbinic issues applies in such situations. Now, getting back to the Negev, he says, when it comes to the Rambam, it seems like you have to keep 2 days. He points out also, this is a side point, reminds us of this interesting issue. The Gemara always distinguishes what's called Kibush Mitzrayim, Ole Mitzrayim, and Kibush Ole Bavel. The areas that Jews settled during the time of when they came out of Egypt, and the areas of Israel, the much smaller area of Israel, that they settled or took over when they came back from Bavel after the first exile, after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. When the Rambam says it has to be in the second period, you might have thought it has to be all those places that we know of for the second period. But Rav Herzog says, it's not clear exactly what he means to me, but I think what he means is that, let's say you knew of a place like that that was settled in the first Beit HaMikdash, but you didn't know that it was settled in the second, that's a place that's a mesupak. But I think he also means to say, but if we knew that it was settled in the second, even though it's not part of Kibush Ole Bavel, it wasn't part of like the main settlement, then we'd have that thing. I mean, if I knew the Jews happened to live in a place, right? Let's say there's a place that they conquered in the first Beit HaMikdash time, and then, or before the first Beit HaMikdash, when they came out of Mitzrayim, and then we know they didn't conquer, but there were Jews living there. So if there were Jews living there, we can't say, oh, it's definitely a 2-day thing, because it might be that for all that it wasn't owned by them, they would, let's say they didn't conquer Ashkelon the second time around. But there were Jews in Ashkelon, and maybe the message is there, so you'd have to think about that as well. Then he says the Rav Tikhachinsky, he says it in the honorable third person as they do in Torah discussions, Kvod Torato, his honorable Torah, he early Alpeh said to me orally, and I always find this interesting because I always wonder about this. I've often wondered about this. I've shown it in other cases where you'll have, let's say, the Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach will send a letter to Tzitzeliezer about some topic, and they'll send them a letter back. And they knew each other. They were friends. They lived in Yerushalayim. Why don't they just talk to each other, especially by telephone? So it seems like they would have, the tradition would be you'd write it up and you'd send it to each other. So here, clearly, he's saying, when we spoke about this in person or orally, it could be by the phone, but when he spoke about this, you, Rav Tikhachinsky, said to me that here it's a big question because it's a question of Bitul Dvar Torah. If we pask in the wrong way, we're going to lead maybe to people not keeping the Torah the right way, including especially wearing tefillin, meaning, let's say a lot is supposed to keep only 1 day. They're allowed to keep only 1 day. They're supposed to keep only 1 day. Second day of a Yom Tov, so not Pesach, let's say the 8th day of Pesach, the 9th day of, so what we call the 9th day of Sukkot, and the 2nd day of Shavuot, will be all times the Jews should be wearing tefillin. And if we tell them, nope, you got to keep 2 days, they're telling them not to keep filling. So he said, maybe we should be machmir in that way. Rav Tikhachinsky's idea was, maybe we shouldn't treat it as a regular drabbanan. We should say, no. We should try very hard to make them keep only 1 day because of this problem of wearing tefillin. So Rav Herzog says, that doesn't bother me. And it doesn't bother me because it's part of the power of Chazal. That if they make a decision, and based on the decision they make, based on the rules for decision making they have, and the rules we have for how to treat a suffix in a drabbanan, we should be machmir, we should be stringent about keeping 2 days, then we don't worry about the ramifications. So I think Rav Tikhachinsky meant, shouldn't these ramifications turn into d'oraita, and maybe we should be more machmir for that side? And Rav Herzog is saying, the question isn't the tefillin. Tefillin is a side question. The question is, what do we do about the 1 day, 2 day? If by our principles of halacha, based on this Rambam's understanding of how the gezeira, how the decree of 2 days came about and what it was, if that leads us to believe that a lot has to keep 2 days, then that's 2 days. If that means they don't wear tefillin, then that means they don't wear tefillin because they're keeping the derabbanan that the rabbanan told them. And if the rove, as the Rambam seems to say, if the majority of the world means that they'll have to treat themselves like the majority and keep 2 days, then that's like a Yom Tov that Chazal set up, and it's one of the powers of Chazal. And we know this in other occasions as well. It's like every time Rosh Hashanah is on a Shabbos and we don't blow shofar, it's one of the powers of Chazal to tell us on certain occasions not to keep X mitzvah because of Y reason. And that's the power of Chazal. And as long as they're using that power properly and appropriately, then we're following that. And then he says, and I can even say, I can even say better, which is a yeshivishism that I don't always use, but he said, another way to reason out this issue also is, the reason we don't wear tefillin on Shabbat and Yom Tov is because those days are an oath. Those days are a sign, right? A symbol of our covenant with Hashem. And the Gemara's understanding was that on days when we have one oath already, we don't need another oath. We don't need another sign between us and Hashem. I think that in my series on the Aruch HaShulchan sermons, which you can find on the Torah Musings website, I believe the Aruch HaShulchan had this whole discussion of that oath and how that works, it doesn't work, and whether it's really a question of one oath or two, because everybody, all men have Brit Milah anyway, have been circumcised anyway, so I think you can see it there maybe. But, so he says, if that's true, then as soon as Chazal decide that a day should be Yom Tov, it's not that, therefore, you end up not being able to wear tefillin. It's that tefillin becomes irrelevant. Right, so it's true, it's not a mikra kodesh, it's not a yom tov that you get biblical lashes if you didn't follow it, but it's a sign for the Jewish people to keep. And then he points out there's a whole Ramban contra discussion about the level of obligation a rabbinic rule creates. Rambam said that all rabbinic rules are actually biblical rules because the Torah tells us to listen to Chazal, and Ramban thought that was excessive and that all, but whatever that discussion is, but here when Chazal told us to keep a day and keep it as an oath, as a sign between us and Hashem, so then tefillin mimela falls away. Tefillin falls away as an issue sort of on its own or by the way. So till now, it's not looking good for a lot in terms of keeping one day or 2 days. But then he says that, I think, no. I think we should make it on all of this. Based on what I think Rav Tikhachitsky had raised issues with him that he felt were correct, and we don't have them in the Tshuva, but based on those issues, I think you're right. And then he points out also that there's a book called, I think, Tfuata Adam by Rav Yehosef Schwartz. And he quoted Rav Sadia Gaon. When he's reading the Torah, if anyone has a Targum of the Torah, has a translation of the Torah that he wrote into Arabic, I think. And when the Torah refers to Ma'ale Akrabim, it's, I think, one of the Masa'ot. Sorry, it's in Parshat Masay, but it's not one of the Masa'ot. It's one of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. V'nasal lakam agvul minegev l'ma'ale Akrabim, to the south of Ma'ale Akrabim, and then it goes to Tzina, whatever it is. So, in the Targum of Rav Sadia Gaon, he had said that it was Aqaba. So, and that means the city of Aqaba, which is by the pass of Aqaba, which is by the Yam Suf, by the Dead Sea. Not the Dead Sea, the Red Sea. All the way, it's in, today, Aqaba is a city on the Gulf of Aqaba, which is in southernmost Jordan, southwestern Jordan, I think very near to Eretz Israel and places like that. In any case, the point is that would suggest that Aqaba was a city, although if you could prove from the Torah, it sounds like it was a city only in the time when the Jews got out of Egypt. So I think the point is the fact that Rav Sadia Gaon quotes it means that it was still settled in his time, and that would give us it was settled in the Bayit Sheni time. But that's not really the way he gets around. The real way, and it's taken us all the way till minute 27 for me to assuage your concerns, the way we've heard it is, he points out that the Ritva didn't agree with the Rambam. The Ritva said, all of Eretz Yisrael, even if it's more than 10 days, even though the Shluchim, the messengers, didn't get there then, right? If there are places in Eretz Yisrael that you couldn't get to within 10 days, they would also keep 1 day of Yom Tov, the Ritva said. And therefore, Herzog says, even though it's a Sveika Dedina between the Rambam and the Ramba, and the Ritva, it's a Machlokas Rishonim, and some people say that in a Machlokas Rishonim, which is called a Sveika Dedina, meaning we're not doubtful about what the case is, we're doubtful about how to rule based on the different opinions, there are those who held that even if it's only Derabbanan, only in quotes there, even though Derabbanan, we would go Lechomer, we would go stringently in a case like that. He says, that's not the way we Paskin. We Paskin Lekula. And therefore, since it's a Machlokas Rambam and Ritva, and Ritva is an important Rishon too. Everybody hears about Rambam, but Ritva is also a Rishon, and Ritva has the right to argue with the Rambam. We would follow the Ritva in this situation, and that would mean that any place in Israel, and especially says, the way that Chazal create a lot of these rules, and with the Sheval Tai said, we need to know, and that they're stopping Torah law. This comes back to what Tikhachitsky said about not wearing tefillin. Yes, they have the power to stop people from wearing tefillin, but we need to know that they wanted to stop people from wearing tefillin. And if there's a place where the Rishonim, Gedol Olam, right, the great, the giants of the past, are arguing about that situation, then it's not clear that that's what Chazal wanted. And since the whole reason we do these things is Shlichutai Kavdin, and we're representing Chazal and following what Chazal had wanted to say, then we don't have enough evidence here to tell us to keep a second day Yom Tov and refrain from doing all the mitzvah that we're supposed to do. And then he throws in, and I think it's possible that even the Rambam would agree, that since we don't know what the halakha is, and we don't know the halakha follows him, then this robe that he quoted, that you follow the majority of the world, you do what the majority of the world is doing, and you keep 2 days, he's not sure that this would apply to places within Israel to be machmir in that way. And Rav Tikhachinsky pointed out, Rav Herzog likes the inference that it's always called Yom Tovsheni Shel Galiyot. It's called the second day of exiles. And the Rambam's view would narrow it that way. The Rambam's view is the second day of those who happen not to be close enough to Yerushalayim to have gotten the messengers in time. Which is a much bigger, longer word to say. They're going to say, well, they just said it that way. But then Rav Herzog says, and that's not a halachic, you can't pass a halacha based on that, but it's a nice point, right? And he thinks that it adds in to his confidence that they can keep only 1 day, following the opinion of the Ritva, who said that it's an Eretz Yisrael issue, that anywhere in Israel doesn't have to worry about how far they were or weren't, or whether the messengers actually did or didn't get there. And then he says, and the truth is, the whole Rambam's view is very difficult for various reasons. And then he throws in, because Rav Herzog, let's remember, is a man with a PhD in chemistry, and he's a man of sophistication, is not the right word, I apologize, a man of a broader education than many other Gidolei Torah that we've had. He had this PhD, he had lived in, you know, Western countries, and he had seen all of that stuff. He says, you have to check manuscripts of the Rambam, because maybe there's some errors in the Rambam there, because I think the Rambam is very, very difficult. But whatever it is, the Ritva is strong enough that we can follow the Ritva, and therefore he says, the place in the south of Israel, even though they're places that we are pretty confident the Jews had not settled in during the time of the second settling of Israel, of Beit Sheni, and the time beyond when they were still settling, when they were still setting the calendar, by eyewitness testimony, they can nonetheless keep 1 day. And he says, I'm really tired and I can't go on and I can't say more, even though he said a lot. I'm too busy also, but I want you to know that I am among the Mekithim. I'm among those who are lenient, that think that those cities, those places keep only 1 day. And then he hopes, as we all do, as we all should, that God willing, very soon we will return to being Mekadesh al-Pi HaRi'iyah, that we will return to the time when we set the calendar by eyewitness testimony. And today, he doesn't throw this, but today I would say, and then it might be that the second 2 days Yom Tov will go away all over the world, because they'll just inform everybody, and the Sanhedrin will say, now that we're able to inform everybody of al-Pi HaRi'iyah, and we don't really think that's going to, those communication lines will break down anytime soon, so there might be a time when the obligation of following that minhag would fall away, possibly, perhaps. That was me talking, that Rav Herzog. He was just hoping, as we all do, for the Geulah Shlema, for the full Geulah, including a return to being Mekadesh al-Pi HaRi'iyah, to sit in the calendar based on eyewitness testimony. And that is a responsum a day for the 23rd of Tammuz, with Jack, thanks to the OU, Troy by Jacob Bromwitz, and to David Hochhauser. I bid you a good day.